series by using the topic, we titled it Pain Management. And the topic was turning my pain into gain. How many know you have to be intentional if it's going to happen that way? Because usually the devil wants you to let your pain bring loss into your life. Hello. And so the default mode is pain brings loss. But if you're intentional, you can actually see your pain become gain. And based on the premise that our pain always leads us somewhere, that was the premise that I laid down in part one, we asked the question, where is my pain taking me? Or where is my pain leading me? Is it leading me closer to Christ, or is it leading me away from Christ and the gospel? And so we're going to finish up this. It was just a brief series with this part two, and Lord willing, we'll finish this morning. And we're calling it the Jabez Challenge, the Jabez Challenge. So let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. If you just missed that first part, being that this is just a two-part series, you may understand this part a little better by going back and catching up that first part. I think it was placed on audio, so you can request a CD if you so desire. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Let me remind you or inform you that, Lord willing, my family will spend a few days with vacation this week, so we will not be here, and we will be gone through next Sunday. So, Brother Cruz will be ministering Wednesday evening. Like I said, I'll be here tonight, but Brother Cruz will be ministering Wednesday evening, and then they will be covering Brother Cruz and I think Brother Smith maybe, however that works out on next Sunday. So I'm not worried because I know you're going to be here. I know the last time I was gone, Brother Toby, one of our deacons, texted me, and he said, just saying, but he said, we've had the largest Wednesday night attendance tonight that you're gone than we've had in a long time. Just saying. No. So, you know, I used to think, well, you know, but hey, I know you're going to be here. You're going to support the Word of God, the man of God, and the moving of the Lord. And so, 1 Chronicles 4:9, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And Jabez, everybody says Jabez, was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow, a.k.a. pain. Everybody say pain. Verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God, notice this, and God granted him that which he requested. Aren't you glad you still serve a prayer answering God? Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would come with one voice and one heart. I pray that you would tune our hearts, minds to see the power in the grace of God. Lord, I really believe in my heart of hearts that no one's here this morning by accident. They may think that they just decided to come this morning just because they felt like it. But God, I believe there's something deeper that you're trying to do in their lives. And I pray, oh God, that the work will be accomplished. If you've not begun the work, they've not allowed you to begin it, I pray they would allow you to begin it and then continue it until that day that we look on your face and hear you say, well done. In Christ's name I pray. All God's children say amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor as you are seated and tell him, why don't you take the Jabez challenge? Take the Jabez challenge. And I'll expand on that in a few moments so you'll know a little bit more of what you just encouraged them to do. We find here, and really it's buried in the genealogies of the Old Testament, this man called Jabez. Really little is known of this biblical character. He seems to be misplaced here in this verse, coming basically from nowhere and headed for somewhere. He comes in at verse 9, and he's gone by verse 11, is it? And yet there's something more. There's a substance about this guy. In his obscure existence, I hope we can learn some lessons for our life. We're first told that his mother named him Jabez because he was born with much sorrow or pain. Now, in the days in which he was born, and especially among the Hebrews, they took considerable time naming their children. And I hope you've done the same. I've heard some names of children that I wonder if their parents took any time. Hello, I mean, know what I'm talking about. Thinking that name through. Wow. Names have meaning, and so the name of Jabez signifies that his mother, or what his mother thought when she named him, because Jabez in the Hebrew, everybody say in the Hebrew. That's the context, that's the culture, that's the framework that we're seeing this guy. In the Hebrew, he means one who causes pain. Now, how would you like to go through life being known as one who causes pain? Right? Imagine having a name that if you grew up with the type of children that many of us grew up with, he probably would have walked into classroom in grade school and maybe seen a bottle of Tylenol or aspirin sitting on the desks of his classmates. Because when pain comes, take one. Right? Here comes pain. Every time they see him, here comes pain. Imagine being made fun of and told by others that you were nothing but a pain. I hope to speak of Jabez today because some of us need to break out of the pain. We need to break out of the painful living that maybe we're in and realize that there is an experience with God in which we can be healed. And so I want us to look at just a couple things. I'm going to make maybe two rather broad observations, and then I've got five quick points. Okay? So the first two observations is, number one, our past pain does not have to determine our present purpose. We can say it another way. I could actually add another point. Our past pain does not have to determine our present praise. Now, we can live with the name and the reputation that our name makes for us, or we can decide to live the way God would desire that we could live. And I was just thinking this week, I resolve to live the greatest life I possibly can. To look for the good instead of looking at the pain. I submit to you today that perhaps there's someone here right now who needs to, maybe like Jabez had to do, rise above what people call you. Rise above what people have done to you. Rise above what people have said about you. Turn to your neighbor and say, rise above it. Because the reason many of us miss opportunities in life is because we have our backs turned to the door of the future. And our eyes are nothing but the past. And so you have to let go of the past. Yesterday, somebody say yesterday. Because if you see it this way, I want you to know, yesterday is today's dead sister, while tomorrow is today's unborn sister. You have to release the dead so you can embrace the living. Oh, let me say that again. You have to release the dead if you are going to embrace the living. Everybody suffers. Everybody has problems, and we can have pains. The question, though, is how are we going to deal with it? If everybody dwelled on the past, nothing would be achieved. We would all be stuck. Everybody say stuck. I'm afraid that it's what's occurred to many of us. We are stuck. But I want to tell somebody today, don't let your past trauma give you present day drama. Why? Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has a purpose for you, and it's not just presently, it's even in the future. You have a future. I have a future. And I resolve in my mind not to wallow in the past, but I must reach for the future. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ. Folks, I believe believers should be the most optimistic people on this globe. Hello. Recently, I read a short story about a little boy named Michael. Everybody say Michael. Michael was in the fifth grade. He decided to run for president of the student council at his school. During the campaign, so to speak, Michael and his little brother was picked up from school, and they had to go to the pediatrician for a checkup. And so their doctor saw the little campaign buttons that they had and said that he himself had run for president of the student council years ago when he was in school. And I think he told him when he was in the sixth grade. But he went on to tell him that he lost and he didn't make it. And so a few days later, this young man, Michael, he called his mom with the election results. And he said, well, Mom, it looks like I'm going to be a doctor. Huh? Tim, what a way to look at life. Hello. What a way to look at life. Even in the midst of dilemma and setbacks, we should see triumph and success in the future. Why? Because you're a child of God. I'm a child of God. And we are people of hope. Praise God. How are you going to live today? Your past doesn't have to determine your future. Hey, somebody may need to reject the label. Reject the label of the past. Walk past the lies that others have developed around you. Don't wallow in the legacy of someone else's plans for you. Decide today to live the life that God has ordained for you, not someone else. Okay, so here's the second observation. Your present pain does not have to determine your future position in life. Jabez had things to overcome, and first we know he had to overcome basically his name, because Jabez means the one who causes pain. And it also says that he was, notice this, he was more honorable than his brothers. Now, how many of you were raised in a family where there was sibling rivalry? Hello. I was the baby out of five. So if you've experienced sibling rivalry, Jabez, notice what it says, though. He was elevated above his brothers. It's an indication that there might well have been this rivalry taking place in his life. And you know, sometimes words don't have to be spoken concerning your inability to succeed in an endeavor. I've learned you may not be good at something, but don't give up, because you can be great at something else. You just have to discover what it is. And Jabez did not pray for God just to help him make it through. He didn't just pray, God, I need your help to survive. No. He said, Lord, I pray that you bless me. Indeed. Bless me indeed. And enlarge my life. That your hand would be upon me and that you would keep me from evil. It might seem as though life has handed you a lemon. Somebody say, turn your lemon into lemonade. Because your future, listen, live your life by faith in Christ. Hold on to the promise that God gives to those that he calls his own. You don't have to let your present determine your future if you will let go and let God touch your life. If you want to accomplish the purpose God has for your life, you're going to have to overcome some things. And there's no gain without some sort of price or pain. And it is just a matter of how much you are wanting, how much you are willing to invest, how much you want to achieve in the realm that God has planned for you. Don't give up. You gotta get up. This is not the time to give up. It's a time to get up. Peter told the lame man, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. Have you been left lame by some of life's circumstances like Jabez? Then you have to take the Jabez challenge. Arise above the circumstances of your life and walk into a divine destiny that God has planned for you. You need to take the Jabez challenge. Your troubles, listen, you can look at them that they've come here to stay, but I'm telling you, they can pass. This too shall pass. If you'll get a hold of the supernatural power of God, if you can step out in faith believing God will bless and enlarge your territory, God has more blessings for your life than you can imagine if you'll just put your whole faith and heart to commitment and surrender in the hands of God. All right, now I want to show you something here, how God uses pain. Now the world, and this is five quick points, the world has taught us many myths about life and about the pain we experience, and some of them may be harmless, but some of them are very destructive. And here's one that is destructive. They say, if you'll just ignore your pain, it'll go away. The fact is, God doesn't want you to ignore your pain. He wants us to discover the cause so that we can find relief. Pain is like a warning light, and it's saying something is wrong in our life. Now, is it wise when your little check engine light comes on to ignore it? Some of us that have vehicles over so many thousands of miles, we call them idiot lights. They're a nuisance. You get it checked out, you go to Brother Tim or Brother Schaefer or who else around here works at AutoZone, they have a little machine, they plug it on there and say, well, it could be this, it could be that, and you try to address this and that, and sometimes it still won't go off. And you have to have it reset, and you drive a few more miles, and then it comes on again. But I don't think it's good to at first ignore that warning light. You need to get it checked out. Hello? And it's not wise to ignore your pain. It's saying something is wrong. And the truth is, pain is a tool that God uses for good in our life. And now the problem is, We often don't understand it. We don't see any purpose in it. And if pain doesn't have any purpose, then it really becomes difficult to handle, right? And it's much easier to handle when you see a purpose in it or behind it. And so in our remaining moments this morning, I want us to take and look at five ways God uses pain for the good in our lives. And it's hopefully you can remember these. They're five G's. Five G's. Okay, and this first one is kind of going back in the old English, but it's the only G word that meets and fits to keep them all hopefully easy to remember. So if you're taking notes, write these five down. If you're not taking notes, write these down. Number one, God uses pain to goad us. G-O-A-D. Goad. Means to motivate. Because pain plunges us into action like nothing else will. Hello? Example. I don't want to go to the dentist until the pain gets so unbearable that the pain is greater than my fear of the dentist, and then I move into action. Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 30 basically says, and let me put it in the PEV version. You know what the PEV is? Plain English version. Basically says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change. Pain forces us to change when we don't want to change. Usually when we hit the bottom, then we're ready to change. Example, the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 spent everything he had, and he grew hungry. At last he came to his senses and said, I'm going to arise and go to whose house? I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to my father's house. What was it? It was the hunger pains that finally motivated him, goaded him to move back to the Father's house. God uses pain to motivate us because we'd rarely change if we didn't have any pain. Secondly, God uses pain to guide us. Like a bit in the horse's mouth, God takes pain and he turns us in different directions because of the pain. In Psalm 119, 71 through 72, David says, basically, pain is the best thing that could have happened to me because he said it's taught me to pay attention to your laws. David is saying that painful experiences are teaching tools that God uses to guide us. One man said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. He says, I want your attention. And sometimes it doesn't take a lot of pain. You know, just a little wheel can turn a big ship. And so sometimes just a little pain in our life can lead us in a new direction. But Hebrews 12, I believe it's verse 7 says, if ye endure the chastening, the painful experience, the chastening, then God dealeth with you like sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Let God train you, for he is doing what any loving parent does for his child. Whoever heard of a child who has never been corrected? Listen, sometimes the only way to train is through pain. How many of you who are parents would rather not have to discipline your children? Right? Boy, it'd be nice if all of them acted just like me. Just kidding. How many of you parents, even though you'd rather not have to discipline, sometimes you must discipline your child for their own good? Huh? Why do you do it? Because you love them. Right? You love them. God is the same way. God doesn't allow the pain in our life. He doesn't like to allow the pain in our life. But sometimes God has to do it anyway to discipline us. To train us. To move us in the right direction. It's not because he's angry. It's not because he's retaliating. It's not because he doesn't like us. Some things we're only going to learn through pain. Why? Because we're human. And listen, God motivates us, but he also guides us with the pain that we have in our lives. But we never need to doubt the love of God. Don't doubt the love of God. His motive behind all the pain is for our good. He is guiding us. Number three, God uses pain not only to goad us, to guide us, but to gauge us. In other words, it's a measuring tool. God uses pain to see what we're like on the inside. People are like tea bags. You don't know what's in them until you drop them in hot water. And you don't really know what's inside of you or I until we are faced with the test of pain. And the Bible often compares pain to the refiner's fire, like a fire that you heat up to refine gold or silver. And as it heats the gold and the silver to a higher temperature, the impurities rise to the top and they're burnt off and the dross is burnt away. And so God uses the pain in our lives to burn out some of the impurities and burn off some of that which should not be there. Because Isaiah 48:10 says, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. That's what God told Israel. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. It says, I've tested you. Pain is a test. It exposes the real you and I, and it shows us what we're like on the inside. Do you know why? Because it's impossible to maintain an image when you're in pain. I said it's impossible to maintain your image when you're in pain. I had a little pain the week of camp. Not a big pain to many of you, but it was big enough for me. I shut my thumb in the door of my truck. And I know, somebody asked me when they saw it bandaged up, they was like, what'd you do? And I said, I shut my thumb in the door. And they was like, oh, we were expecting something more elaborate. I said, that was painful enough. So it just was swelling, it had all the pressure under the nail, and so I went to urgent care and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to bore you with the details, but when they removed that nail, I did not maintain my image. Hello? Hallelujah. God is more concerned about our integrity and our character than he is about our image. Hello? James 1 says that it's when we are under pressure that our faith life is forced into the open position, and it begins to open up and show our true colors. James is saying pressure reveals what we are like on the inside. Now, what does the pressure and pain reveal about your faith and my faith? It reveals whether we have fickle faith or faithful, fervent faith. And so God uses pain to goad us, to guide us, to gauge us. Fourthly, to guard us. Sometimes God uses pain to protect us from something worse happening to us. Sometimes far worse. Sometimes he uses pain to protect us and prevent us from getting involved in something that we shouldn't be involved in. Oh, I know we're not swinging from the chandeliers, folks, but this is stuff you need to make sure you're anchored to. God uses our pain to guard us. Sometimes pain can be a blessing in disguise. Illustration, do you remember the story of Joseph? I think I referred to it in the first part of this series, because the first chapter of his life is pretty much like a horror story. I mean, for everything that could go wrong, it did go wrong. For 40 years, he's neglected, he's rejected, he's sold into slavery by his brothers, and he's falsely accused of rape, and he's thrown into prison, and there he's basically forgotten about. His whole life is just one painful experience after another. But if you read the end of the story, you realize God was preparing him, and through those circumstances, he ended up becoming second in command in all of Egypt, and he saved not only Egypt in the time of need, but he also saved Israel. Hello? And at the end of his life, he said in Genesis 50 and verse 20, what the devil basically intended for evil and to harm him, God had intended it for good. And there will be people who mean to harm you that will come into your life and bring pain. And they may have harmed you as a child. Listen to me. They may be harming you right now, emotionally, physically, and in some other way. But God says, I have a plan. I have a purpose bigger than that. And they may mean it for evil, but I'm going to get some glory out of this somehow. You see, all along in Joseph's life, God was goading, he was guiding, he was gauging, and he was guarding. And then finally, he was growing Joseph up into greatness. Because listen, there's no greatness without some kind of painful experience. And so Joseph can say, you meant it for bad, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Why? He was guarding me. The greater the pain, the greater the privilege. And so number five, God uses pain not only to goad, to guide, to gauge, and to guard, but finally to grow. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It's possible to grow spiritually and emotionally when everything is going great and life's fantastic. I'm saying it's possible. You know, when you got it made, all expenses paid, sipping on lemonade, in the shade. What else can we do here? Orders. Give me some more words. Listen, it's possible to grow spiritually and emotionally when everything's going great, but we grow faster and far deeper in the dark phases of our soul. We grow deeper and far greater in the valleys rather than on the mountaintops. That's just the way we are made. In James 1:4 says, let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, he's saying, let that pain grow you. Don't squirm out of your problems. Because if you'll let that pain grow you, you will be ready for anything. Your character will get stronger. Your commitment will become complete. Pain is the high cost of growth. And it's trite, but it's true. There is no gain without pain. It just doesn't come any other way. And the fact is, we want the product without the process. Oh, help me preach for just a couple more minutes and I'll be done. I said, we want the product without the process. What's the product? The product is mature holiness, emotional stability, health, and wholeness. But God loves us too much to bless us too quick. Hello? Can we handle the blessing without it having to experience some of the curse? Listen, to summarize all that I've said this morning in one sentence, listen, the very thing that discourages you the most, God will use to develop you, and it is not an accident that it is happening. Hello?
James 1:4 says, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let God do his perfect work and you will become well developed and mature. Paul says it like this when he talks about the pain that he experienced. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 1:9. He says, this happened to me and that happened to me. Pain happened to me so that I might learn to trust not in myself but in God, because he told me his grace will be sufficient for me. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Praise God. Somebody shout, I'll take the Jabez challenge. I'm going to raise my hands in the midst of the pain and I'll say, God, you can still touch me.
Oh, I feel too good for a Sunday morning. I know I'm putting you to sleep, but I want to encourage you in closing as the musicians come. In closing this two-part series, I ask you to do a little self-evaluation by thinking about any hurt that you're going through and the pain you're going through. And I want you to ask yourself, Lord, are you using this to goad me into action? To do something that I know I ought to be doing anyway? Or are you using this pain to guide me? To point me in a new direction? Or are you using this pain to gauge me? To help me measure myself and see what I'm really like on the inside? And see what needs to be changed? It's a warning light. It's a warning light. Are you using this pain, Lord, to guard me? Protect me from something worse? Keep me from wandering too far? To keep me dependent upon you, like Paul had to become? Are you using this pain to grow me? To make me more like your Son, Jesus Christ? Stand with me. Who will take the Jabez challenge this morning that says, yes, I am experiencing some pain right now this morning, but I'm going to step out of my seat. I'm going to move to the altar as an outward show that I'm moving toward Christ in prayer. And that I'm going to grow in spite of my pain. Who's going to step out? Now, there'll be a time for everybody else to come. But this time is for those that are experiencing a pain in your life right now. A painful experience. And you're willing to take the Jabez challenge and say, in the middle of this pain, I'm not going to let it define me. I'm not going to let it cause me to go away from Christ, because I'm stepping out and I'm stepping towards Christ. All right, they're coming. Anybody else? You're willing to take the Jabez challenge, just step out, because we're going to pray in a moment. I feel the presence of the Lord. I feel the power of God. I need the saints of God, believers, beloved. Would you pray? Would you pray? There's a lot of pain in the house today. There's a lot of pain. And we're going to make that Jabez challenge that says, Lord, though that pain may be excruciating, I'm moving toward Christ. Go ahead, tell him right where you're at. Tell him, I'm moving toward Christ. I'm coming closer. I'm coming closer. I'm coming closer in Jesus' name. I'm coming closer in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Father, you're here around these altars. You're working in hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, I invite the church, if you're willing to and you're able to and you want to come, I invite all of you to come. I invite you all to come as they begin to play and sing. Father, right here, there's folks that's taken the Jabez challenge. The Lord, those there's pain in their families. There's pain in their lives. There's some pain in their past. There's pain in the present. Oh, come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. I will trust in you. Come, Holy Ghost. Minister to these hearts. Minister to these lives, Lord.
Help them, Lord, to turn their pain into gain. Not to move away from Christ, but to move toward Him. In Jesus' name, beloved brother and sister, mom and dad, grandparents, would you pray that? God, I'm moving closer to you this morning. I am moving closer to you this morning. In my pain, I'm going to trust you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I feel the presence of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Every young man, every young lady. Oh, my God is able. Jesus, Jesus. There's some people here this morning that's let their pain drive them away. Oh, God, would you let them make a U-turn? Allow them to make a U-turn and come back to Christ. Come back to Christ. In Jesus' name, we rebuke the devil. We rebuke the enemy. Let the Holy Ghost do the work in these altars right here and right now. In Jesus' name.
When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. When you don't move the mountain, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. When you don't move that mountain, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you.